This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Today, when it comes to that affidavit of Mar-a-Lago, plus the Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson slapped with a bigger game suspension and fined a huge whopping amount of money. Just a little bit of what we're talking about here on the show. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging with us as always, plus a mailbag that's coming up next, by the way. You had plenty to say about some of the things that we're going to talk about right here, namely just the fascination with the shakedown of the former ex-pres. Was it a shakedown? Was it justified? Blah, blah, blah. On and on the questions go. But as the Department of Justice argues it would give a roadmap to the investigation, the federal judge hearing this says he's completely unconvinced the affidavit should remain sealed. Boy, this could also be a precedent setter for future searches. So anyway, the U.S. magistrate judge on this one is Bruce Reinhardt, and he set this up on Thursday with the possible public release of the really heavily redacted anyway version of the affidavit for the search of Trump's Florida home. The judge says he plans to hear more from the Justice Department by next week about how extensively investigators want to keep confidential the document that really describes their investigative steps and the methods leading to the search. Why the search? That's the question we want the answer to. Why the search? Reinhardt said he wasn't convinced that the entire affidavit should remain undisclosed to the public. Do you feel like reading some documents? I think people are going to want to know what's in it. The curiosity factor has soared. Prosecutors have the opportunity to propose redactions and then explain why each piece of information needs to be kept from you and I. The proposals will be due next Thursday. Also, the judge said that he may have additional confidential discussions with the Justice Department before making his decisions on transparency. Early on Thursday, Reinhardt said he would unseal some other procedural filings that are currently under seal on the search warrant docket. So, boy, oh boy, this is so precedent-setting. And again, the question, why the search? Why the search? So if it's justified, okay, well then show us the steps. And that's one of the other big questions of this whole thing. Or not. Was it or not? And there's so many layers, my friends, to this. So many ripple effects to this. First of all, for other cases, but let's put that aside for a second and talk about just the race for the presidency in 2024, and then also what does this mean for former presidents and documents and future presidents and documents, and what were those documents? So you see what I'm saying here. The federal judge set in motion the possible, I'm going to say it again, public release of this heavily redacted version of the affidavit for the FBI search at former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. So we'll see if he remains unconvinced that it should remain sealed, and then will the prosecutors get to, if that is the case, will the prosecutors get to redact more of what is in this affidavit? Wow. I can't say I'm surprised. I had a feeling that this is the direction this was going to go in. All right, I feel like I need to give you the payoff on this one because, of course, we have football coming up. Many of you write to me about, are we doing Nail the Score? The answer is yes, yes, and yes. We're going to do it on our Tuesday show, last segment, your chance to win more fabulous prizes from this show, and I hope you take everything out of my prize closet. We'll have more deets coming up on that as we get closer to the regular season. But the story is Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson has been suspended 11 games, fined $5 million after the NFL and the NFL Players Association reached a settlement. So this has changed dramatically. Here's some of the scoop on that. Watson is going to undergo a professional evaluation by behavioral experts and is going to have to follow their treatment program. And I'll say it again, 5 million, 11 games. He says he's moving on with his career and life. He's going to continue to stand on his innocence. That's what he told the media. He said just because settlements and things like that happen doesn't mean the person is guilty for anything. 24 civil lawsuits were filed against Watson, but they've been settled. 23 of them have been settled confidentially. Two grand juries in Texas declined to charge Watson criminally. So that's the other part of that. But the bottom line is he violated the NFL's personal conduct policy in private meetings with massage therapists while he was with the Houston Texans. Lead commish Roger Goodell called Watson's behavior egregious and predatory. And this was a layup for Roger Goodell. Let's face it. He's the commissioner who gets just blasted for some of the rulings of the past, especially when it comes to the conduct policy in place by the NFL. So you knew Watson was definitely going to have more games added on and the Browns were going to lose him and he was going to pay for a greater length of time, and he was going to pay a bigger fine. Initially, it was 6 games, so now it's 11, so that has changed. And Goodell did say this in favor of Watson. He said, Deshaun is committed to doing the hard work on himself that is necessary for his return to the NFL. So the Browns quarterback released that statement saying, some of what I already told you, and also threw in, I'm grateful that the disciplinary process has ended and extremely appreciative of the tremendous support I've received throughout my short time with the Browns organization. I apologize once again for any pain this situation has caused. I take responsibility for the decisions that I've made. So he's a 3-time Pro Bowler. He didn't play last season with the Texans because of a trade demand, as well as these investigations into these allegations. And earlier in the year, the Browns traded 3 first-round picks. So that was big for Watson. They wanted him and then signed him to a 5-year, fully guaranteed $230 million contract, which, by the way, is the most guaranteed dough in NFL history. So now the Browns are going to be stuck with backup quarterbacks pretty much to Watson, who with that kind of money, once he comes off of that suspension at the tail end of the season, if the Browns are in it and are competitive, would you assume that he would take over? So it sets up a couple of really, really fascinating scenarios if you think about that. And I think that we knew that there was going to be more games coming down the pike, so we knew that this was going to happen. I'm going to throw in one more sports deal here at the top of this because it's a staggering amount of money. And again, it's not surprising. Sports rules when it comes to these big conferences. So if we were in the man cave, which we're not going to have a man cave for this show, I would talk about this. The NCAA's Big Ten Conference announced on Thursday they reached a massive media rights agreement. The key word here is massive. And it's with a bunch of networks. CBS, Fox, NBC, NBC Universal's Peacock for a deal that's worth an average of at least, get ready for this, $1 billion a year. College football, $1 billion a year. Wow. It's a 7-year deal. It goes into effect in 2023. So I guess not everybody is feeling the so-called recession or the inflation blues. Hang with us. Mailbag coming up next.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines, hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Once again, the mailbag is full, full, full. Are you tired of me saying that? I'm not tired of all your emails. Thanks for them. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com, 24/7. Send me your thoughts. This is really the way so many people communicate with me on this show, and I absolutely love it. I've said this before. Doing this syndicated show has been the joy of my life, 15 years. I can't believe how time just clicked away. And previous to that, I worked in huge media markets for CBS and NBC. I worked in Dallas. I worked in New York City, and I had never got the amount of email that I get from all of you. So don't be shy. Whatever your thoughts are, share them. Again, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. All right, so speaking of sharing, it's always the yin and the yang with all of you. And I think there's big concern over what's the race going to look like in 2024 for president. And, you know, it's interesting. We're more than 2 years away, but we know that you have to have a war chest, and we know that, let's face it, in running for the highest office in the land and running for a lot of offices, it starts earlier than it used to be. It's not the old days when you just shook a bunch of hands, which you still do that. Talk to more people, did those whistle stop tours on the back of trains, and maybe you did that a month or 2 months, maybe three at the outset before the presidency. You might have floated the idea that you were thinking of running, but our earlier presidents did not do what we do these days. And there's lots of opinions out there, and there's social media that gets wrapped into all of this. So you're going to love this. I'm pretty sure, and I have it on good authority, not just things that are being reported. Some people that I know in Wyoming have talked to me about this, but it looks like Liz Cheney, who got trounced in her bid to remain in Congress as a rep, a Republican rep for the people of Wyoming, is probably going to run for president. We'll see if that becomes the reality. But Joe Biden actually called Liz Cheney after her loss. This was being reported. I saw this today in Bloomberg. The White House didn't comment about Biden reaching out to Cheney after she lost to Harriet Hageman, who was endorsed, of course, by the former president, Donald Trump. But a Cheney spokesperson didn't respond to Bloomberg's request for comments about the call, but they know that this happened. So, of course, Cheney upset Trump when she voted to impeach him and for her work on the Select Committee investigation into the January 6, 2021 riot at the Capitol. So she was definitely in all the polls. She was behind. She was expected to lose to Hagman. And sure enough, she absolutely did in the state which Trump won by the largest of margins during the 2020 campaign. All right, so you had lots of questions, and because there were so many people that wanted to sound off on that, I figured I would just kind of throw that all in together. I had Joe, and I had Bob, and I had Bill that are all saying, do you really believe, you know, here's this from Bill. Kate, is Liz Cheney out of her mind? Does she really think she could beat Donald Trump or whoever the Republican nominee is? And the answer to that is her push, I think, is going to be, I'm a hardcore conservative Republican. My father was, whatever she throws into that. And that's what she'll push, I'm sure, on the trail. And then if it's Trump who's running, it'll be that you can't trust him, this and this, and that's not our party anymore, and he hijacked it. I mean, I could write the script for you, and you all know it. So it will be, as I said on this show the other night, must-see TV if there's debates, because imagine the debates that could have, I don't know that Mike Pence will really run, but what if he does? You could have Mike Pence. You could have Liz Cheney, Donald Trump, of course. I'd be surprised if he didn't after all of this. And maybe Ron DeSantis, and maybe somebody else gets thrown into that mix. You can bet not just Republicans, but Democrats will be watching whatever takes place there. All right, this one is from Eric, who says, Kate, I've been listening to the Man Caves, and I'm wondering, are you still a fan of those lame Eagles? I like everything you do, but I cannot back you on the Philadelphia pick. I'm assuming you grew up in that area. I say, go Cowboys. Do you think the Cowboys will be good this year? Wow, that's like a loaded question, because, you know, my hubs is a huge Cowboys fan. I've talked about this before. I used to travel with the Cowboys. I talk about that in my book, Invade the Man Cave, Sports Secrets Guys Don't Want You to Know. And, you know, I have such mixed emotions about the Cowboys, because they were very good to me when I covered them. But listen, when you're a fan, wherever you grow up, I think, or wherever you spend a lot of time, you become, I think you're a fan of that team. And so for me, it runs deeper than that. It's just that whole family tie to the area. And I mean, let's be real. Don't tell the Eagles this, but I don't know if in my lifetime the Eagles will ever win another Super Bowl. In fact, if I were going to bet on it, I would say they probably won't. Think about what happened last time. They barely were second in the NFC East last year. They were 9-8, and I'm not so confident. I think some of their better years are behind them, including in the coaching ranks. I hope I'm completely wrong. What's going to happen when they open the season? I think it's going to be interesting when they play the Dallas Cowboys. It always is, and that doesn't happen until the second week in October, but they open the regular season with the lowly Detroit Lions. I think they beat the Lions, but then after that, the schedule gets much harder, of course. And I don't know what kind of season they're going to have, but yeah. So I do have that split loyalty thing to the Cowboys for how they treated me, but certainly the Eagles and growing up that area. And again, don't tell any Eagles fans, but I don't think they're going to win another Super Bowl. I wouldn't tell my brother that, because he is one of those lifelong fans. I mean, hey, and if you look at Dallas from last year, they were 12-5 coming into training camp. I just talked to one of my writer pals the other day who was out in Oxnard for the Cowboy camps. And I tell you, Dak, you always look at Dak Prescott, and he wants it badly, and he's healthy. And if he's healthy and you get Zeke in the mix, again, that's a deadly combination. I would be hard-pressed to say they're not going to be competitive and that they won't win the NFC East, but you never can tell. I mean, last year they were that team in the NFC East. But then you have to look at, if I'm just looking at, if you want me to give a broad prediction, which I'm not going to do that till we get closer to the season, but if I'm looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You still have Tom Brady coming back. He doesn't have Gronk unless Gronk changes his mind and unretires. And look, you got the Los Angeles Rams. I'd be hard-pressed to say that they couldn't be back there again. What about the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers? There's a lot of teams that could be in the mix. There's so much more parity these days in the NFL. So I went down the rabbit hole. I'm going to reel myself back in from the rabbit hole and go to this next one from Mel, who says, hi, Kate. I heard your comment the other night about alligators and people wanting to know if you wanted to come back to Texas because they were saving a spot for you. And I laughed out loud. What do they think? In Florida, there's nothing but gators that walk down the street. That's ridiculous. And I think you cleared up pretty much that the alligator attack of the 88-year-old woman did not happen in Florida, that people needed to pay attention to their geography, that attack happened in South Carolina. And yes, there have been several gator attacks. In fact, there was right down the street from me, there was a guy who was killed when he was retrieving frisbees from a lake. But he went in a lake filled with alligators. There were signs everywhere. And the sad part of that story is he did that because he needed the money. He was selling the discs to people who played frisbee golf. And that's what they call it, right? So how sad is that? I think it was one of the saddest stories. Like, listen, could we all have given him some money to be able to eat and to be able to have a roof over his head versus doing what he did? And that's what happened to him. So all the stories are different, too, by the way. And yes, there have been some attacks. There have been some freaky, weird things that have gone on. But it is not all just in Florida, and you got to pay attention to what the signs are, what the signs say when you're out near lakes, because it's their territory. And I think this sometimes is what people crazily feed alligators and all of that. And so listen, that you're in their territory, you're feeding them, and then you're not feeding them. So that's going to set up that scenario. That's the sad, sad part about that. All right. Once again, like I said, thanks so much for all of the emails. And I know that we're going to get a lot of questions about Nail the Score. I'm going to just tell you some broad details quickly here as we exit the mailroom. It's Nail the Score happens on Tuesday night in our last segment of the first hour. I'll pick the game of the week. You just call in and give me a score. Who you think is going to win and what the score is going to be. And people have come so close, and a lot of people have nailed it. If you nail it, you clean out my prize closet, and that would be sweet because I would love to clean it out. So remember, email me, kate@katedelaneyradio.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. A federal judge is deciding to unseal part of an affidavit used to raid former President Trump's South Florida home. In a ruling on Thursday, the judge telling the DOJ to file a redacted affidavit by next Thursday before the unsealing takes place. As far as where we go from here, constitutional law professor Jonathan Turley says,
the devil is now in the details. The Department of Justice is notorious for really overextended redaction.
The National Organization for Women says the suspension of Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson is nowhere near enough. Watson was suspended for 11 games and fined $5 million over allegations made by 26 women related to sexual assault or misconduct allegations during massage appointments. USA Radio News. According to the Washington Times, the U.S. Marshals Service is drafting a sanctuary policy that would limit the agency's ability to hold illegal immigrants for pickup by ICE. Under the policy, marshals would not be able to hold illegal immigrants for pickup by ICE on the say-so of an immigration warrant or detainer request. Once the Marshals Service is finished processing an illegal immigrant for its custody purposes, the person is to be released, even if ICE has asked for a hold. China is teaming up with a country who's not necessarily an ally of the United States.
China is sending troops to Russia as part of a strategic military exercise for the first time since 2018. The exercises will take place from August 30th to September 5th in the eastern portion of Russia. The Chinese military in previous years sent an estimated 300,000 troops to a portion of Siberia and has headquarters close to the Chinese border.
Lance Pry reporting. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
The Book of Reception, and it's fascinating because of the, for lots of reasons, but the journey that he's been on. So, Steve, tell us first of all what happened when you were a child and your relationship with God.
Well, as soon as I started going to school, straight away the teacher, I found that I had a reading disorder and I couldn't read. So, the teacher sort of would get me to read. And I would stumble and stumble and stumble. And then she brought my mum and dad in and showed them that I was unable to read. And so I went home with no real answer to what I would do. So I first started memorizing the words. But then the teacher saw that was a trick. And so she went and got another book and got me to read that and then showed that I wasn't any good. So then I just went in my room and just started wondering how I'm going to fix this. And I just sought God. You know, I just knew God was real because I'd gone to Sunday school and loved him. And loved Moses. So I just sought God. But unfortunately, I wasn't a good boy. I'd stolen some money at that point, and I decided to go and tell my father I stole it and give it, and then he made me give it back and say sorry and everything. And so that left him a bit disappointed with me. But God was quite pleased with the way I did it. So that was sort of established a method of where I. It wasn't so much that I would sin, but if I sinned, God would always bring me back to correction. So it was always an education, always schooling. And that schooling then is also taking over from my normal schooling, which I've got a reading disorder. So it's sort of trying to hide one thing within the other, and so that then I could fulfill and be a normal boy. But,
and so you go from that to then this journey, you create this book of the documents that you were telling me that the documents that go back 6,000 years that you received from God, and you were trying to tell people, and people weren't having it. They wouldn't hear you, right?
You're basically getting everyone on their own opinions and their own prejudice and the positions that they take. So God said to me that they will treat me the way they treat him. So they're going to treat me honestly. So I'm going to know them by what they do. And so you can actually read a lot into how they've come to their conclusions and why they're dismissing you. So you see, the subtleties of with God isn't just knowing this or knowing that. It's actually knowing a lot more. And there's a lot more, you know, we could say, oh, he's doing that because he thinks this. But if we look in deeper, we might find that, no, there's actually another reason. And he didn't choose that at all. He even knew that he wasn't going to choose that. You know, we make our assumptions to bring people down a lot, not to raise them up. So, you know, I felt for all these people that's what they were. That was their lives. That was how they are. They don't, you know, people go to church on Sunday. Well, that's not being with God. You have to be good with God 24 hours a day. You know, God is a conscience. We have to discern ourselves in all the things that we do. We have to think. And in that, there's a lot of subtleties. Like people say, I'll never forgive you. But that's not what they're saying. They're actually using the word acceptance, but using the word forgiveness instead. And in the word forgiveness, there is no acceptance. You do not accept the sin. Forgiveness is a contract for the victim to feel comfortable with the perpetrator. So the contract is quite important, and it's not acceptance. So when people say, I won't forgive you, it's nothing to do with forgiveness. It's acceptance. And that really is more the aggressor trying to take control and make us accept his aggressive nature. So it's a trick, you see. It's like the flesh tricks us. It tells us that the sin is in the spirit. But look, the hand is the thief. The mouth is lying. Where is their spirit there, you know? The spirit isn't lying. And all of us are only witnesses of the spirit's existence in the flesh, because it was existing before we were born, but now we are the flesh of the spirit. And yet we, as the witness, want to take over and be the owner. And, oh, look how great we are. You know, we should respect the spirit within us, because, you know, Adam only had one breath breathed into him. And when we die, that breath leaves us. So it's only one breath. There's no Satan. There's no other demon. There's no demonic creature. There is a Father that loves us, that created this whole universe for us. And we should love that. We should love the fact that we've been given an extra position to an animal, which is we can say no. Animals can't say no. They just die. Whereas we can say no, and we can be argumentative with God. But God likes that, you see. You know, we don't have free will. We have choice, and God knows all our choices. He's already designed the roads. So we're only choosing. If we had free choice, we could change the road. But we can't change the road. We can choose the good road or the bad road. And it's a matter of everyone has to decide. I don't care if someone wants to go to hell. I say, go. I'll come and get you when you're sick of it. Because that's all that's going to happen. You're going to get sick of it. Heaven is not being sick of it. And so it always has to be changing. Always has to be fluid. You know, Christ teaches us the fluidness of kindness and decency. You know, he has the ultimate fluidness. He is the drop of water that never mixes with the sea and can arrive at any shore he chooses, because he has choice. So if we go and do sin, we'll lose our choice. And if we become a master of our repentance, then God can't free us from it. So we need to clear our repentance, you know, get rid of it. The book is about cleansing the earth. God's going backwards now, and we're going back 6,000 years all the way to the garden. And God's going to cleanse every single day, and we're going to go back to our births. This year happens to be 20 years since we started going backwards. And so people that were 20 years old 20 years ago are now going to be 40 this year and have the Ten Commandments written upon their hearts. So this year is the end of the whole event. We're about to enter the Ten Commandments time of life, because the Ten Commandments will tell us in our heart what to do. And it's just a matter of learning. I mean, at the moment, men teach our brains to be wrong, so our hearts are struggling. But the time now is coming when the heart is going to be taught, because we're going to learn the principles that God teaches us, and we're going to learn the precepts, and we're going to learn the Ten Commandments. You know, the principles are the laws of love, and the precepts are the precepts of understanding. Because when we go to get something, we need to pack the bag properly, so we pack our bag of precepts for understanding. So, you know, we need to do these things. God has a new covenant now that he wants to make with the world, and I have it sitting in my house, you know, and it's an agreement where we go to school and learn the laws of love and learn the Ten Commandments, and then we go out into the world. And we sign that agreement that we're going to keep the laws of love and we're going to keep the Ten Commandments. But if the people of this world don't want to do that, then I'm not sure how we're going to survive. You know, right now they say climate change, but that came in 95. My morning star came in 93. All this stuff on earth is lying. They've silenced the scientists of religion. And we need to ask, why are the scientists of religion silent? Because this looks like curses from God. And if they aren't saying this looks like curses from God, then I guess the governments have silenced them. This COVID virus, they're not doing pre-treatments. They're saying wait till the tests. Well, the person's bled out. He's dead. You stop the bleeding straight away. You treat the symptoms. And they are lying. We don't need this vaccine. We need to get our bodies healthy. And we need to get used to this virus, because it's a dry flu, and the other flu is a wet flu. And these are the two types that we have, wet and dry. Now, whether man made this virus or whether God made this virus, it doesn't matter. It's in God's hands now. He now has hand on it. So we need to do something about our relationship with God. And we need to put our hand in with him and love him, because he's our spirit. We're nothing without him. Sorry.
And the Book of Reception is that part of that journey, is helping you on that journey.
The Book of Reception is just simply God's plans of creation and how they came in. And the guy that wrote it's very egotistical. He thinks he's the greatest person on earth. And so, you know, a lot of people hate my book because the person that wrote it's so much ego. You know, he's so up himself. but you know, it takes you on a journey. And what I show in there is life-living experiences. You can't beat them. One day I'll be able to teach people a lot more, but at the moment we've just got to wait. But, you know, I've been given a new position by God now. I'm been given the position of the high priest of the school of God, and the Holy Spirit is the teacher in the school of God. I'm still a student, because I've always been a student all my life. That's what I was talking about, the method and how I managed to solve my problems. But as the high priest, you know, it's a matter of bringing these schooling things in so that we can start learning, because things have to change on this earth. We have to stop playing flat earth syndrome games, you know. If there's a lot of suns out there in the universe, I should be able to see one of them, and I can't. So I think there's a flat earth game going on there. You go into church and they say Satan in the spirit. Well, we got rid of the multi-gods, so now we've got multi-spirits, and I think that's a flat earth game as well. And in the medical profession, I think if they don't heal you but they have methods that look after you for all of your life, I think that's false, because I think repair would be better than just managing my sickness for all of my life. And I don't like managing sickness. I would rather cure it.
Steve Garner's book, The Book of Reception, you can get it on Amazon. Steve, wow, I'll be very curious to see even some more reaction to this, but thanks so much for sharing your gift.
Thank you for bringing me on.
Ever feel
completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ, based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This time around on Author's Corner, I'm joined by Steve Langford. He was a pastor for 50 years. Can you imagine that? Boy, does he have a lot of knowledge on the subject that we're going to talk about, his book. And his book is called A God-Shaped World, Exploring Jesus' Teachings About the Kingdom of God and the Implications, and this is important, for the church today. And again, we had an incredible conversation off the air about this. So let's jump to it. First of all, Steve, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, it's a gift and a privilege to do so. Thank you for this gift, Kate.
Oh, thank you for saying that. In the book, I want to get to the heart of it, because you talk about four central characteristics of the kingdom of God and how important these are and how it's at odds with our human nature, our basic human nature. Explain that to all the people listening across the country.
Certainly. This book is based upon the Gospel of Luke, the life and teachings of Jesus, ministry of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And in the Gospel of Luke, I identify four central characteristics to his ministry and to his message about the kingdom of God. The first of those characteristics is that every person without exception is viewed and valued, accepted and embraced as a beloved child of God. The second is that relationships are based upon grace and forgiveness. The third is that power in the kingdom is used to serve the other. And the fourth is that material wealth as a form of power is used on behalf of others, particularly the powerless, the poor, the marginalized. Now, those four characteristics just go against the grain of our basic human nature. We naturally live in divide the world into us and them. Rather than seeing every person as a beloved child, we say, this is my tribe, and those people over there are different. And so we end up looking down on another group as less than us. And in fact, we base our whole sense of identity on, I'm not that. I'm better than that. And so the kingdom principle goes against our basic human nature. The second is that our relationships are merit-based, or what I call if-then. If you conform, if you're like me, then I accept you. If not, then I reject you. So it's a merit-based approach to relationships rather than a grace-based and forgiveness-based. And then the third characteristic where power is used to serve, it's in our human nature to use our power in self-serving ways. And we often use power over another person, against another person, for our own personal benefit at their expense. And that extends then into material wealth. The Gospel of Luke has more to say about material possessions than any of the other Gospels. And Luke shows in the teachings of Jesus that our inclination is to amass material possessions as a way of pursuing security, a sense of status and identity, as a sense of being able to indulge our desires. So the kingdom is at odds with our basic human nature. Requires then a change.
Yeah, and that leads me to this. This is why you wrote the book, right? Because of what you observed and the struggle that you saw with Christianity and people who, even people who would call themselves believers and would go to various churches, right?
Yes. We live in an era where Christianity is defined by belief, and that's an intellectual issue, believing a set of facts, as opposed to Christianity that's defined by following. Jesus said, follow me, which is, that was an invitation to learn from him and to live the things he learned. And so we end up having churches that live more out of our basic human nature and dress that human nature in religious garb than we have churches that are embodying the ways of the kingdom.
So does that create churches that are sort of stuck then because they're self-focused?
Absolutely. It creates churches that are made up of people like me and mine. And so it ends up creating closed groups that are not really open to those who are different, particularly those who are of a different socioeconomic group.
Boy, and it's interesting because now here we are in the middle of this pandemic, and what have you seen happen with the pandemic, and what do you hope could come out of the pandemic as far as relationships and human beings and those characteristics that you talk about, I think, feed into what's going on now?
Well, hopefully the pandemic will serve as a reset button for us as a culture, especially as Christian culture, that we'll rethink what it means to see that we are all humans. The way we are alike, fundamentally alike, is greater than any of our differences, so that we'll learn to embrace one another as each beloved children of God.
Yeah.
So it's a great opportunity to move beyond our tribal thinking, me and mine mentality.
Yeah. Boy, and you certainly saw...
Also,
You certainly saw a lot of that, right? You saw a lot of that when you were at the pulpit, basically.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. There's always going to be a pushback against the ways of the kingdom because they challenge us, and we'll agree to them. Yeah, that's true, but there's always a but, and the but becomes our excuse for not having to do it. So we believe what Jesus taught, but we don't try to follow what Jesus taught. And that's because we can't do it in our own strength. It requires an internal transformation of heart and mind.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Internal transformation of heart and mind. And you got to work at this. You can't snap your fingers and you can't change what your bias is and what you don't even realize that you've got with your human nature, that struggle. Am I right, Steve?
Yes, it's a process of spiritual growth and spiritual transformation. And ironically, the key to that transformation is how I deal with the struggle. If I come up against someone that I cannot love, that I am repulsed by or offended by, my tendency is to simply say, I can't do that. And in doing so, we keep ourselves stuck in that position of not being able to do what Jesus said. But if we bring that to God, if we confess it, what the biblical term confess means is say, God, I can't do this, then we're basically giving God permission to help us do what we can't do in our own strength.
Boy, well said. Wait, after you wrote this, was it, and I don't want to say cathartic, but what did it feel like when you had all of this that you've worked toward, what you've seen, the human nature that you have observed? What was it like for you when you pulled all this together and wrote this book?
It was rewarding to actually get it in print and know that it is now available to a wider audience. The challenge is to getting it to the wider audience, because most Christians don't think in terms of the kingdom, and many churches never talk about the kingdom. Even though it was the central message that Jesus proclaimed, we have substituted other themes for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, and we started with this talking about it being at odds, as you just said there, and especially with the way the world is now, how quickly, even in a pandemic, things move and the anxiety, especially given what millennials have to deal with, don't you think?
Yes, yes. And my sense is that the millennial generation, which is characterized by the nuns, those who have no religious preference, the millennials can embrace these truths because they are already moving against some of the social standards that they were raised with. So I think there is an openness to this concept. And I don't mean to be critical, sound critical of the church. It's just This has been my experience that it's difficult for us to embrace these teachings of Christ.
Yeah, and as I said, you have a lifetime of watching and seeing it, so you are somebody steeped in this, and congratulations on pulling this together and, again, thinking of where we are and where the church is stuck and the future for the possibilities for so many of the younger people, but just anyone across the board would love this book. A God-Shaped World, Exploring Jesus' Teachings About the Kingdom of God and the Implications for the Church Today. Steve Langford, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. It's been a good opportunity to be with you. Thank you for that gift.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.